It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out the website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. All kinds of great information there. Big show planned for you today. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, their rights, their property, or their freedom via force. They used to do it with a weapon. Now we use it with policy and unpredictable and excessive taxation. And you know, if something's a good idea, you shouldn't need force to implement it. But we are continuing to see the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, and healthcare. Today we're going to be talking about energy. Affordable, reliable, and efficient energy has brought more people out of poverty and enabled more regular people, everyday people, to be able to thrive and prosper. And there has been a war on affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. And so we're going to be talking about that. Our guest in the third and fourth segment is Kathleen Skama. She is the president of the Western Energy Alliance. And for too long, the oil and gas industry has been kicked around. Bernie Sanders has called them criminals. The Democrat candidates have talked about shutting them down. Here in Colorado, we have a legislature and a governor that is working to shut down the oil and gas industry, or new development for sure, here in Colorado. And, you know, when you get right down to it, I think people like to turn their lights on. They like to have electricity, warm houses in the winter, cool houses in the summer, wash their clothes, all kinds of great things. And I don't think that everyday people realize that this is under assault. So we're going to be talking about that in segments 3 and 4. Before we get into it, I always like to say thank you to our great team, to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and to you, the listeners. Thank you for listening. You're valued, you're treasured, you have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And again, on the website, our recaps and podcasts are there, so be sure and check that out. And you can always email me at kim@kimmunson.com. So Steve, inspiration for today. You know, I am really learning a lot as I look for these inspirational or quotes of wisdom. And I was not familiar with this guy, Wendell Lewis Willkie. Had you ever heard of him before?
Yeah, but I really can't tell you why. I guess, you know, he made a presidential bid, right?
Right, he did. He was a lawyer, a corporate executive, and the 1940 Republican nominee for president. Willkie appealed to many convention delegates at the Republican feels only as the Republican feels only interventionist. Although at that time the U.S. remained neutral prior to Pearl Harbor, he favored greater U.S. involvement in World War II to support Britain and the other allies. His Democrat opponent, incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt, won the 1940 election with about 55% of the popular vote and took the Electoral College vote by a wide margin. And Wendell Willkie lived from 1892 to 1944. And this is his quote. He says, "I believe in America because we have great dreams and because we have the opportunity to make those dreams come true." So again, I believe in America because we have great dreams and because we have the opportunity to make those dreams come true. And what we're seeing a lot in particular here in Colorado is those dreams are being squelched for everyday people through all of this excessive policy and taxation. And that's why we do the show, to get our brains around all these issues. So, Steve, are you ready for the funnies today?
Yeah, I wasn't able to cheat and look ahead on this one, so yes.
Okay, here we go. This is from the Department of Employment is investigating the rancher. The Colorado Department of Employment, Division of Labor Standards, claimed that a small ranger out on the western slope was not paying wages, the proper wages to his help, and sent an agent out to investigate him. So the government agent says, "I need a list of your employees and how much you pay them." Well, the rancher said, "Well, there's my hired hand who's been with me for 3 years. I pay him $200 a week plus free room and board. Then there's the mentally challenged guy. He works about 18 hours every day and does about 90% of all the work around here. He makes about $10 per week, pays his own room and board. I buy him a bottle of bourbon every Saturday night so he can cope with life. And he also sleeps with my wife occasionally. The government agent said, well, that's the guy I want to talk to, the mentally challenged one. The rancher said, that would be me. I tell you, that's being a small business person. You do it all.
I don't know where you dredge some of those up, but that's a good one. Yes.
You like that one, huh? Okay, well, let's jump in here to Patty has pulled the bill of the day, talking a lot about energy. We saw a week or so ago, we talked about biodiesel renewable standards. And in fact, you know, who knows what that could do to engines? Many of the engines of, you know, our motor carriers, those engines may not be able to take this new kind of biodiesel. And so, you know, these standards are going to be really, really expensive. But this is now SB 2150, adopting a renewable natural gas standard. It says the bill requires the Public Utilities Commission to adopt by rule no later than the 31st of July in 2021, renewable natural gas programs for large natural gas utilities, those that have at least 200,000 customer accounts in Colorado, and small natural gas utilities, those that have fewer than 200,000 customer accounts in Colorado. So that's everybody, Steve, okay? Now, here is our code word for force, ultimately going to socialism, the rules. Must include reporting requirements. You got that, Steve? Those are those two words, rules and requirements, and a process for natural gas utilities to fully recover prudently incurred costs associated with the large and small renewable natural gas programs. So let's stop right there. Who's going to pay for that, Steve? Who do you think is going to pay for that if these companies can prudently recover their costs?
Who always pays for this kind of stuff?
You know, it's death by a thousand cuts for everyday people trying to just make a living, because this is going to increase the costs of energy. And when that happens, there's going to be less money in their pockets for other things, for, you know, clothes for their kids for school, or the kids playing on soccer or dance lessons or whatever. It starts to make everything so much more expensive. We see it in housing, energy, healthcare. Once government gets involved, the supply goes down, the quality goes down, and the price goes up. And so anyway, get this. Now they define renewable gas. Like they're so smart down there at the legislature that they can define all this stuff as well.
Yeah,
it says renewable natural.
This is where it gets weird. And I'll let you know, continue with what you're about to say. But this word renewable, it just sticks in my throat. But go ahead.
Okay, renewable natural gas, they define it, is to mean any of the following products processed to meet pipeline quality standards or transportation fuel grade requirements. Again, Steve, do you not see those force words there? Standards and requirements. It says biogas that is blended with or substituted for geologic natural gas. Number two, hydrogen gas derived from renewable energy sources. Or three, methane gas derived from any combination of biogas. And then they go on with all that. And, well, I guess I should read it. Hydrogen gas or carbon oxides derived from renewable energy sources, waste carbon dioxide, coal bed methane resulting from human activity, naturally occurring coal bed deposits, a municipal solid waste landfill, waste tire, municipal solid waste pyrolysis, or biogas recovery from manure management systems and anaerobic digesters. Boy, I should have practiced all those words, Steve.
That last one, that's the one that comes from under the Golden Dome, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you believe it? Okay. And it says if a large natural gas utility's total incremental cost to meet these targets of the large renewable natural gas program exceeds 5% of the large natural gas utility's total revenue for that year, the large natural gas utility shall not make additional qualified investments under the large renewable natural gas program for that year without approval from the commission. Okay, so then you're going to have unelected bureaucrats that can say, oh, yes, you can increase those prices for our energy. Am I connecting the dots enough, Steve? I mean, this is complicated, but ultimately it comes down to bureaucrats making our energy costs more expensive. It's going to be more expensive to turn on the lights, to charge your phone. And ultimately, I mean, I don't know. Where does it end? I just don't know where it ends, Steve.
Well, you asked the question earlier, and who pays for this? Well, okay, we know the answer to that. And I'm thinking of all the, you know, you've, and for the last 2 weeks now, you've been have a bill of the day. That bill is coming forward from some committee, and we know that there's, you know, an endless number of committees doing what they do. And the work that they do, each committee basically generates some kind of an increase. Well, that's going to cost a little more. Well, we're just this little group over here, and that's okay. There's no thought given to all the other committees who are doing the same thing at the same time. And there is a grand sum, if you will, of increase for all these types of things. Who is the master monitor of all these things? Of, you know, how many bills are going to be, you know, run through the legislature and probably pushed through between now and the end of the session? And if every one of them has some kind of increase to the consumer, it's like, okay, what's happening here?
Well, ultimately, I think that this legislature, the people that are in power, the radical activists on the left, that and we've elected them. And it's because I think that we have not engaged in the battle of ideas, because we have thought that people that are elected would have our best interests in mind as everyday hardworking citizens, right? That's kind of the American idea, that government is limited and that we get to go pursue our happiness. We have our life, our liberty, our pursuit of happiness, those things that are enshrined in the Declaration of Independence. I think that we have thought that the people that we elect would care about those things for us. But it has not been the case. And the veil is now off on what is really happening. And I really think, Steve, that Colorado is at the epicenter of what is happening. I haven't totally watched what's happening out in California or Oregon, because typically they've been very aggressive on these kinds of policies. But I think that we're leapfrogging over them in a very bad way with all the stuff that's happening down at the legislature right now, Steve.
Well, we've kind of got our either a mirror image, or we've homegrown our own in terms of the radical aspect of us that does the leapfrogging above and beyond these other states that you've been watching. So I just don't have a good feeling for the, you know, and we've already been told, if we thought 2019 wasn't a really stellar year for this kind of stuff, that 2020 was going to be even worse. And again, in your opening segment there, you talked about all the different things that we like about having energy. One of the things that maybe you didn't list was jobs. And we look at Weld County and what's happening up there with the potential, I say potential right now. I don't know how serious it could ever get to with Weld County seceding from Colorado and moving over to Wyoming. Now, that's quite a step. But people in Weld County are, I mean, they see it. It's their livelihood. It's just draining away in front of their eyes.
Well, to have these presidential candidates talk about the oil and gas industry, that these people are criminals. You know, I think that it used to be the risk in the oil and gas industry was when you would dig a well, whether or not there would be oil and gas there. But today, the real danger, the real risk is regulatory. It's what happens between, you know, these legislatures, and then they put a lot of power into these commissions that are unelected bureaucrats, which that is antithetical to the American idea, because we think that people that are making our laws or rules, regulations, which is coming from bureaucrats, that they would be accountable to us and that we could vote for them and vote them out of office. And so we've gotten kind of to a tipping point here in America. I think people are waking up. That's why we do this show. But if you like your lights turning, if you like to turn your lights on, if you like heat in the winter and cool in the summer, and you know all the great things that energy helps us do, then we need to wake up and realize that instead of stigmatizing this this industry, that in fact we should in some ways really thank them for what they have and what they offer us. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, very exciting. The Avalanche, I love hockey, and they're doing very well. Nuggets, they're both, you know, in the hunt for their divisions. And March Madness, Rock Chalk Jayhawk is right around the corner. So the place to watch the games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of that action. Wednesday's Dine-In Wing Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. They've got these great new roasted wings, love the smoked wings. My favorite's the boneless wings. And if you don't want to cook, you can drop by Hooters Restaurants, pick up dinner to take it home. Or you can have Hooters wings delivered to your front door. The girls are coming over tomorrow night, Steve, so I'm going to have Hooters wings delivered right to the front door. For more information, check out my website, kimmunson.com. All of my sponsors are there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with some headlines. Segments 3 and 4, Kathleen Scaba with Western Energy Alliance. They're doing something very exciting to start to push back on this narrative that has really stigmatized or working to stigmatize the energy industry. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. All of our show recaps and podcasts are there. And of course, the show is rebroadcast every evening from 10 to 11 p.m. Steve, you said something really interesting in the last segment about jobs, that we do like the jobs that what the oil and gas industry has brought to us here in Colorado. And with that, they pay a lot of taxes and help support our schools and our roads and our libraries. But this is from the Craig Daily Press. And this is the headline, that Governor Polis appoints the director to the Office of Just Transition. Does that not sound like something out of like 1984, something from George Orwell? We would have an Office of Just Transition. And to go ahead and set this up for you, the Office of Just Transition, and I remember this last year when I saw this, was created by a law passed by the state legislature last year. The creation of the office came shortly after lawmakers passed bills addressing climate and energy generation in the state, as Governor Polis launched a push for the state to transition to 100% renewable energy by 2040. As we work toward achieving 100% renewable energy by 2040, just so you know, that's not possible, we need to make sure that Coloradans and coal-dependent communities have the tools they need to thrive in today and tomorrow's economy. And the guy that they've appointed is Wade Buchanan. Says Wade is just the right person to lead the office's efforts as our economy makes this transition. So what's that mean, Steve? We use policy to take away people's jobs, and those jobs create energy that is affordable, reliable, and efficient. And then Polis creates this Office of Just Transition. What are they going to come up with? What kind of a job are they going to come up with? It just makes no sense. But once again, it's another bureaucrat. Your thought?
Well, you just stole my thunder with the word bureaucrat is bureaucracy, which, we already have so much of it. And every step they take, every move they make, just seems to be throwing another brick on this edifice called bureaucracy.
I know. Now, let me continue on with this. Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association announced in mid-January that it will close all of its coal-fired power plants and mines in New Mexico and Colorado by 2030. The power provider serves nearly 20 rural electric cooperatives. Tri-State announced the closure of its Escalante power plant in Priet, New Mexico by the end of 2020. It plans to close the Craig Station Units 2 and 3, and the Kalawayo mine in northwest Colorado by 2030. That announcement also affected Trapper Mine in Moffett County, which provides coal for Unit 1 at Craig Station. With the impending closure of the plant, Trapper Mine will close between 2026 and 2030, according to the president and general manager, Michael Morris. Due to the future jobs lost from the closures, the Office of Just Transition created an advisory committee, another code word for bureaucrats, in the hopes of developing a just transition plan by the end of 2020. I can't even imagine what they think they're going to come up with, Steve. I just can't even believe it.
Well, you mentioned specific plants that are currently online, pouring X amount of megawatts into the grid. When those dates arrive, when those years that you just quoted, when they arrive, what happens if we haven't come up with the source that generates the same level of megawatts to be poured into the grid? You just arbitrarily say you're going to close this plant, and I don't know that, you know, there's any thought given to, well, we're not necessarily to the point where we can replace that number of megawatts, but we're going to do it anyway. Is that, you know, I say that with a big question mark. We're actually going to induce brownouts into the system because we haven't done our due diligence. I got lots of questions.
Once you close those plants, you can't just, you know, flip a switch and turn them back on. And our coal burning plants here in America and Colorado are very clean burning. If, in fact, everybody was so serious, if Polis was so serious about, quote unquote, climate change, then they would try to be doing something regarding all of the pollution that is being spewed out of coal plants in China and in India. Those are not clean burning coal plants over there, but people are hungry for energy, reliable, efficient, and affordable energy, and what that does for their lives. And so this is really, again, about power and control. And they use this narrative of climate change when, in essence, if they were really serious about it, they'd be doing something and working with China and India to reduce their pollution because we've done such a great job. This is about power and control. And going back, I think we used to think that the people that we elected cared about, our well-being, our life, our liberty, our pursuit of happiness. And these policies show that they don't. The other thing, Steve, you mentioned something, I think it was in the first segment, and we need to look at all of this legislation that is being proposed down at the State House from the big picture, because they try to pull out, you know, this piece of legislation, this is good for this, this is good for this. We need to look at the big picture. And when you look at the big picture, they are really, not standing up for everyday hardworking Coloradans. I wanted to mention one other thing, and this goes over to the national level. As you probably, or you may know, in a 5-4 Supreme Court ruling, they said that it would make it more difficult for immigrants to obtain legal status if they use public benefits like food stamps and housing vouchers to go into, and this is going to go into effect in every state. It was last month on the 5-4, they greenlighted the so-called public charge rule across the country, except for Illinois, because the state was governed by a separate judicial order. Now, while litigation continues, the rule will be in effect nationwide. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services says it will implement the rule on Monday. The court's move is a win for the Trump administration. Solicitor General Noel Francisco had argued in part that the rule unveiled last August is necessary because the availability of public benefits should not be an incentive for immigration to the United States. In response to this, Justice Sonia Sotomayor issued a scathing rebuke of this court's decision to allow the Trump administration to enforce its public charge rule in the state of Illinois, limiting which non-citizens can obtain visas to enter the U.S. Sotomayor's problems with the conservative majority's ruling went far beyond the case, claiming that it was symptomatic of the court's habit of siding with the government when they seek emergency stays of rulings against them. Now, very quickly, Steve, this just makes sense. Back in, it used to be when people immigrated to the United States, they needed to have a sponsor and they needed to be able to show that they could take care of themselves. Somehow we have gotten to a spot where people come in, they've never contributed anything to our society, and they come and they live off of hardworking, everyday Americans. It makes no sense to do that, because ultimately we will run out of money. How about let's make sure that we are able to take care of ourselves and our families? If we're able to do that, then Americans are very generous. But to bring people to come in to live off of others is just, it's astounding to me. And the fact that Justice Sotomayor it wants to stand up for that, I think is a very dangerous precedent. And I'm very pleased that the president, that they ruled, you know, in the favor of the Trump administration on this, Steve.
Well, we could make a whole segment out of this one. We have so many topics like that. But Mr. McBride is here at the front door. I would just say, okay, the court had a decision to make. What's right for the country? What's not right for the country? And just because they went the direction they did, that Sotomayor has to badmouth everything. This kind of tacky.
Well, let's talk to Jason McBride about that. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Any thoughts on this?
I think we knew how she was going to behave on the first day that she got sworn into the Supreme Court, judging by her comments she made at that time.
Okay. And, you know, again, I think we think people, you know, that are in these positions care about everyday hardworking Americans, Coloradans, but not so much. Quickly, though, Jason, it was a rough day. You mentioned it yesterday morning. The futures were down. It was a tough day in the markets.
Yeah, it definitely was. The coronavirus got the blame again. The market, at least the Dow, ended up down about 1,000 points, Kim. The S&P and the Dow both broke below their 50-day moving average on heavier volume, so it was ugly day no matter which way you try to slice it. We'll see what happens this morning. The futures are up about 100 points. I know that's not 1,000, but we could gain momentum throughout the day. But it's interesting. I received a data table this morning that showed every time the market had been down over 2% on Monday, going all the way back to when this bull market started in 2009, Kim, we've had 19 instances where we've had a big, ugly day just like we had yesterday. Well, 15 times the market was up the next day, 17, because we don't know what happens with this one yet, but 17 times it was up over the next week, and again, 17 times it was up over the next month. Now, that's been during this, you know, bull market that started all the way back in 2009, and at some point, you know, patterns are going to change, and the recovery is not going to happen. Whether or not it's this time around that occurs, Kim, I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't know.
Okay, well, you know, it's important to watch all that. I'd recommend people sit down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management and do a discovery session just to get a look on, you know, their nest egg. And they can do that by contacting you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, I'll be interested to see what happens. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Kim, bye-bye.
Okay, we'll be right back with Kathleen Scamba.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Monson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmonson.com, spelled MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. I love hearing from you. I'm really excited to have on the line with me Kathleen Scama. She is the president of Western Energy Alliance. And this show is brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services, and we're talking about health and hydrocarbons. Affordable, reliable, and efficient energy is one of the key components of everyday people being able to thrive and prosper. And, of course, hydrocarbons come from fossil fuels, or fossil fuels, I guess they're almost synonymous. But they make our life better. But they've really been getting a bad rap with all of this new green energy and all. And so we wanted to talk to Kathleen about something very exciting that is happening this week. Kathleen Scama, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Kim. I appreciate it.
So you are doing something creative. You're actually going on the offense a little bit this week. So tell our listeners about that.
Well, since over several months now, Bernie Sanders has been calling oil and natural gas executives criminal. Joe Biden, jumping on the bandwagon, has even said that, you know, if he were elected president, he would put us in jail. Elizabeth Warren thinks we're corrupt, but of course she thinks any private business is corrupt.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not sure what to do with that. But the bottom line is we've been called criminals for the last several months, and we're finally saying, you know what, we're not going to take that. So we got together 54 oil and natural gas executives, and they signed an open letter to Senators Warren, Sanders, and Vice President Biden saying, we would be criminal not to produce oil and natural gas. Because if we don't have oil and natural gas in this country, then people actually die. There's no food in the grocery store because you need oil and natural gas to grow the crops and bring it to market. There wouldn't be medicines in the medicine cabinet or medical devices to keep people alive in the ICU without oil and natural gas making the plastics and the medicines. We wouldn't be, you know, people would die literally if we didn't have electricity 24/7, not intermittently like wind and solar, but 24/7 electricity to run those medical devices, to keep the lights on. We wouldn't be warm in the winter without natural gas. We wouldn't be cool in the summer without oil and natural gas. And of course, you know, it's obvious that we need oil to get to work and school to better our lives. So we would actually be criminal not to provide an energy source that does all that, that maintains a healthy, vibrant, life-sustaining, modern lifestyle for Americans and across the globe. And in fact, there are about 1 billion people worldwide that don't have access to electricity. And those people are poor. If they don't have access to energy like we do in the West, then they're cooking with dirty stoves. They don't have lights to study by at night. And so we're pointing out that not only do we help Americans, but we can help the 1 billion people worldwide without access to reliable electricity were we able to export natural gas in greater quantities. So that's what we're doing. We're responding to that rhetoric, calling us criminals, and we're saying, you know, actually, if you look at all the good that we do in the world, we are certainly not criminals to provide a product that does all those life-sustaining things.
Well, Kathleen Scama, I want to drill down, no pun intended, a little bit on what you just mentioned about the billion people on this earth that do not have electricity, reliable, affordable, and efficient energy. And even going to women, you mentioned dirty stoves. When women have to basically go out and collect, you know, wood or dung or whatever to be able to cook over, to have an energy source, that takes time. When they have to go and get water, that takes time. They're not able to, you know, actually improve their lives. They're just trying to survive. And the other component is burning these particular, you know, wood or dung or whatever isn't good for the air. There's typically more pollution there as well. So it's kind of astounding to me that we have these kind of radical activist candidates that are advocating getting rid of something that makes people's lives better and actually hurts the environment as well. It's a little disconnect to me,
That's a great point, Kim. I mean, what you said, that's all true. And I think what happens in the West, and we see it in many different spheres, from how crops are grown to how medicines are made. I mean, we have people who think that homeopathy is going to, you know, is better than modern medicine. And we have people who think organic, sustainable, self-sufficient farming is better than modern agriculture, which actually can feed the world. We'd be starving if we went backwards when it comes to agriculture. So in many different spheres, we take for granted what we have in the modern world, and we focus on some impacts, because every human activity has impacts. So we focus on the impacts of these activities, and we magnify that, and we forget that the benefits are so much bigger than the impacts. So you will have the other side, unfortunately, you know, it shouldn't be a partisan issue, but you have the environmental groups who act as if oil and natural gas is evil because it does have some environmental impacts. But if you look at it on balance, the benefits we provide are so much greater than the impacts. And the good news is greater use of American oil and natural gas is actually causing air emissions to go down, because we're using more natural gas in electricity generation, and we're helping to clean the air because it is clean burning. It's helping to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Natural gas is the number one reason the United States has reduced greenhouse gas emissions more than any other country. But the environmental groups, the environmental lobby, which basically is kind of running the Democratic Party now, wants to just focus on scarcity, so limiting people's choices when it comes to what they can eat or what they can, what type of energy they can use. And that scarcity would result in intermittent energy. It would reduce the lifestyle that we enjoy and actually endanger health. And they do that in the name of climate change a lot, or just general impacts on the environment. But again, the balance is oil and natural gas provide so many more benefits. If you weighed both the costs and the benefits, or the benefits compared to the impact, the benefits are so much greater. And that's why people use oil and natural gas, because they don't want to go back to and live in caves. They want to be able to heat their homes so they don't die in the wintertime from coal. They want to be able to use modern medicines and medical devices that are enabled by oil and natural gas. And so, you know, there's that trade-off, and, you know, we win that trade-off hands down if there's an honest conversation about that. But the Democratic candidates who are calling us criminals, they don't want to have that honest conversation. They just want to vilify one industry. They want to, it's like we're being scapegoated. And if their agenda was actually put into place, if we actually did away with oil and natural gas, they would be out of office so quickly, when Americans can't, you know, drive their car, eat a hamburger, and, you know, turn the lights on 24/7.
Well, and I think everyday hardworking people really take these things for granted, because, you know, they're busy with their lives. They're busy taking care of their kids. They don't realize what is happening from a policy standpoint. And when we start to see the effects of this, people, I think, I agree with you, they're going to say, wait a minute. But what I see happening from these, you know, kind of activist, far left PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, is you start to shut down an industry, and you can't just start an industry back up. And so it's kind of being incrementally, calling oil and gas executives criminals. It seems like it's an incremental situation to shut down this whole industry. And if in fact that happens, it's going to be difficult to start it back up again.
Well, you know, I think the good news is, despite all the rhetoric, they don't have actual legal means to shut us down. I think it's campaign rhetoric. It's unfortunate, because it misinforms the public. And when you misinform the public, what happens is bad policies can come into place that can do things like increase costs for consumers. But, I mean, I think ultimately, since their agenda is so radical and would be so unpopular with people, I think that it really won't come to fruition. For example, they talk about banning fracking. Well, the president doesn't have control over fracking. That's not in the power of the government, of the federal government or the president. It's in the power of individual states. So, you know, a president can't tell Texas that they're not going to develop oil and natural gas and that they're going to kill the entire economy of Texas. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
But we do see on, from a policy standpoint, for example, out in California, they're trying to put forward legislation that says that there'll be no new, or my understanding is no new natural gas, like you can't have natural gas for your range or, you know, for your fireplace. And so those policies are very, very dangerous, and I'm concerned about those, Kathleen Scama.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. This vilifying natural gas is completely strange because, again, it's the number one reason the United States has reduced greenhouse gas emissions. It's clean burning, so by using it in electricity generation, we're actually reducing standard air pollutants as well. So it's this misguided vilification. And, you know, that's a great example of where that rhetoric translates into really bad policy.
Right.
I mean, in New York, people can't hook up their home to natural gas. It's really cold in New York. It's colder than in Colorado, certainly, where I am. We're based in Denver. But it's, you know, if you can't have people using natural gas, well, then they have to use electricity for their home heating. And you know what? That's largely coal and natural gas anyway. So it's really misguided. And I can't imagine a professional chef. Speaking of California, where some of these bans on natural gas are, I mean, California is known for its, you know, chefs and its world-class food. You don't cook without a natural gas stove if you're a serious chef. So it's kind of, like, there's going to be a backlash to that, and it's so misguided.
It truly is. Now, Kathleen Scama, who is the president of Western Energy Alliance, let's go to break. We'll continue this conversation about health and hydrocarbons, how hydrocarbons make our lives better. The show is brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. We will be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. All the show recaps and podcasts will be posted there. Also, if you want to talk to me, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and I love hearing from you. On the line with me is the president of Western Energy Alliance, Kathleen Scama, and we're having a conversation about a new initiative, I guess I might say, on informing people that the oil and gas industry executives and the industry are not criminals, as Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and Elizabeth Warren have said or implied. So, Kathleen Scama, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much, Kim. It's a pleasure. Yeah, so we are kind of sick of presidential candidates, particularly Bernie Sanders, who has called us criminals, and Vice President Joe Biden saying that we should be put in jail. So we've kind of let that rhetoric go for far too long. So yesterday we placed an ad, a full-page ad in the New York Times, so kind of right in the center of that type of atmosphere.
Kind of the belly of the beast of all this narrative.
Yes, exactly, that narrative. And so it's a full-page ad that says that we would be criminal not to provide oil and natural gas. And so we talk about all of the life-sustaining things that oil and natural gas does. We actually have a picture of a little boy in India who is studying by lantern. It's actually a solar-powered lantern, so it's not going to last too much longer. Hopefully he gets his homework done for the night before that lantern goes out. But we talk about how natural gas is a solution for helping the billion people worldwide who don't have access to reliable electricity 24/7. And those people suffering from energy poverty are, you know, not as healthy, not as safe, they don't live as long as people in the West who have access to 24/7 energy supply by oil, natural gas, coal, nuclear, you know, all those reliable baseload type energy sources. So we have our ad, and it is signed by 54 executives in the oil and natural gas industry, including the CEO of Liberty Oilfield Services, your sponsor today. And we list in that ad all the benefits, well, not all of them, but many of the benefits that oil and natural gas provide, and all the life-sustaining benefits from oil and natural gas. So we're coupling that ad campaign, that full-page ad with some social media outreach, and we're hoping it will generate a bit of a buzz, just because normally the industry doesn't do that type of thing. We don't go right to the belly of the beast and say, hey, you know what? Stop calling us criminals. You all, in your urban environments, you wouldn't last a day without us because you couldn't use your smartphone. You couldn't use the internet. You couldn't order from Amazon, and you wouldn't have food in the grocery store. You wouldn't have medicines in your medicine cabinet without oil and natural gas, because all of those things are made or powered by oil and natural gas.
Well, you know, Kathleen Scama, I think that we have gotten spoiled, that we don't realize all of the benefits that come from oil and gas. And recently, I walked in the MLK parade here in Denver with some of my friends, and there were some of the young kind of Antifa kids that were kind of walking along trying to, you know, just kind of poke us a little bit, I guess you might say.
Intimidate,
that might be the better word. And as I looked at them, and of course they had scarves over their faces, which I thought was kind of interesting, but they were Bernie supporters, and people asked me how I knew, and I said, well, they had Bernie water bottles, and they were carrying Bernie signs. But as I looked at them, they had their iPhones. They had on coats that clearly had been, you know, that had some hydrocarbons or some, which comes from oil and gas, or some plastic products. You know, everything that made their life that they could be doing that, the shoes that they had on, it was just astounding to me that they were standing for somebody that wants to shut down an industry that makes their life better, and they have not been able to connect that. I thought that was kind of astounding.
Well, it is, you know, we're used to being taken for granted. You know, modern society is complex. People don't necessarily know that everything from the computer chip to the plastics on your iPhone and all the internet infrastructure behind it is not possible without oil and natural gas, because we make so many products out of oil and natural gas. So we understand that people don't necessarily understand that. I get it. But there's so much misinformation from politicians like the current presidential candidates, particularly Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They vilify oil and natural gas, but, you know, their constituents, Americans, wouldn't last a day without oil and natural gas, because we're in so many things in daily lives. So we get it. We understand that people take us for granted, but the problem, I think, with this type of rhetoric against our industry is there's this notion on the left that if we just ban fracking, and if we just don't, you know, we don't build pipelines, we don't allow any oil and natural gas to move forward, then suddenly wind and solar can take over, as if oil and natural gas is keeping wind and solar down. Well, it's not. It's that wind and solar don't provide an alternative that does everything that oil and natural gas do. You know, there aren't, from transportation, you know, we can't fly jets without oil and oil. You know, we can't keep the electricity on 24/7 without natural gas backing up, without providing that base low power or backing up wind and solar because they're intermittent. So there's this notion that we can simply do away with oil and natural gas and wind and solar will take over. Well, wind and solar only provide electricity, and they only do that when the wind blows and the sun shines. So they have to be backed up by natural gas anyway. And there's not enough wind and solar to provide all, you know, to take over transportation. Certainly, you're not going to get in a jet that is powered by electricity. You know, so this notion that we just do away with oil and natural gas, we don't put any pipelines in place, we stop producing it from federal lands or getting it here in America, only would mean that we would have to import that energy from overseas because we don't have an alternative that does everything that oil and natural gas do. And so when you put that misinformation in the minds of Americans, and we're seeing it here in Colorado, right? We're seeing an administration that is divorced from reality and that is trying to, you know, just wave a wand and say we're going to do away with oil and natural gas, you know, by 2040 or whatever it is. Until there's an alternative that actually does that, all you would be doing is harming people. And, you know, I guess it is easy to say, oh, yeah, by 2050, we're not going to have any oil and gas. Well, if there's not an alternative discovered by 2050, then you know what? We're going to use oil and natural gas. But the good news is we do produce it here in America. We're the number one producer in the world of both oil and natural gas. So we can produce it here. We produce it under very strict environmental regulations. So we produce some of the most, you know, the most clean energy. You know, we, Canada and Norway, are really environmentally responsible. And so, you know, we're producing it to world quality environmental standards. If we don't produce it here, then we're getting it from Russia and Saudi Arabia. You think they care about the environment, that they operate as cleanly as we do? You know, that's just, it's just misinformation. It's misinformed, and that's why we're doing this ad campaign to try to, you know, at least spark that pushback on this rhetoric that is damaging to our energy environment.
Well, several things that I'd like to points I'd like to make is, first of all, it's just been recently that America has become energy independent. And I remember years ago when we were dependent on the Middle East. And so it is astounding from a geopolitical standpoint that we are now energy independent. Jimmy Carter, back when he was president, said we were going to run out of oil and gas in 20 years. But what he didn't take into account was the creativity and innovation of the human brain. And the oil and gas industry went to work, came up with this amazing hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling, and it has made us energy independent, which is astounding. One other thing, Kathleen Skama, that I wanted to mention, we've talked a bit about these electric batteries, and you mentioned honest conversation and that everything has impacts. And there's been no conversation in Colorado about these electric batteries of the cars, or, you know, how to store energy from wind and solar. But when those batteries run out, where do those go? And so there's environmental impacts with that, that there's not been an honest conversation. And holding up something that's not reliable, that's not efficient, and is not affordable, and saying that that is the standard that they would like to move us to, ultimately, everyday people will see opportunity go away to thrive and prosper if this rhetoric continues, or if it goes into policy. Kathleen, we're about out of time. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Kathleen Skama, president of Western Energy Alliance, regarding this ad that they're putting in the New York Times and informing people about the benefits of oil and gas. So, Kathleen, what's your final thought on this?
Well, I appreciate your taking the time to discuss these issues. You're right. Electric vehicles certainly have impacts. In fact, some studies find that they have a greater greenhouse gas footprint than the normal combustion engine, depending on where they're run. but certainly the mining impacts are huge. But it's this, you know, everything has an impact. The mining impact from batteries and EVs are certainly high. And so let's have an honest conversation, and that's what we're trying to do with our ad campaign. So appreciate your having me on to talk about it.
And where can people get more information, Kathleen Scama?
Well, we are at westernenergyalliance.org.
Okay, that's westernenergyalliance.org. Kathleen Scama, thank you so much. I'm so excited about this campaign because I like it when the lights turn on, when I'm warm, when I can get in my vehicle and go where I want to, when I want to. And one other point I just wanted to make, Kathleen, and it's because of oil and gas, is at Christmas time, I went into the grocery store and I was able to buy things for my celebratory meal that I didn't have to grow the corn. I didn't have to grow the potatoes. There were tomatoes in the middle of winter in Denver, Colorado. And I say that that's because of reliable, affordable, and efficient energy. And that is brought to you by fossil fuels, by oil and gas. Thank you so much, Kathleen Scama.
Thank you.
And our quote for today is from Wendell Willkie. He said, "And political parties, over-anxious for vote-catching, become tolerant to intolerant groups." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.